Time for another edition of What's Good on MyFM. Today we're talking about food safety tips when barbecuing. We have Dr. Lena Lee here, Deputy Medical Officer of Health for the Southeast Health Unit. Welcome, Doctor.
Hello, hello.
And Sarah Burris, Senior Public Health Inspector at the Health Unit. Welcome back, Sarah.
Hi, thank you.
Let's get right to it. Dr. Lee, can you tell us why proper food safety is important to prevent illness?
Yeah, so I think probably surprising no one, food poisoning is a risk from undercooked meats. And I'll say sort of food poisoning two components. One is an acute illness coming from toxins that come from improperly stored food. And then the other is bacterial infection, which can happen, a couple of days after you've eaten the food and can last for a couple of days or even a couple of weeks. So all of that is a risk for undercooked foods, and meats is a major culprit. I think this is like not a surprise to anyone. Certainly, people who have been listening to the Health Unit talk about this, we talk about this every year, especially in and around barbecue season when the summer starts. But also, I think people are just aware that this is a risk, right? So today is really about reminding everyone and also giving some tips and tricks about proper food preparation. Really, barbecuing, I think, is a fantastic part of this time of year. I'm always looking forward to the first barbecue in the spring that we have. It really is one of my favorite ways to eat meat in particular. But this is the type of cooking that's not in our kitchen, right? So for a lot of people. There are some things that may be a little bit different than people's usual routines when they're cooking meat or preparing food. They're used to what they might do in a kitchen, but this is, either in their backyard, which is a little bit different, or even sort of in a park or having a picnic, which can be quite different. And so just thinking about handling, preparing, and serving food in a way that prevents foodborne illness, and being a little bit conscious about the concrete steps that need to be taken.
All right, Sarah, can you walk us through the steps to prevent foodborne illness when preparing the food for your barbecue or picnic?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like Dr. Lee said, different environment, so maybe some different challenges, but it's actually the same four steps that we would use indoors, which are separate, clean, cook, and chill. So, with the separate step, we really want to stress keeping raw product, raw proteins away from any ready-to-eat ingredients to prevent cross-contamination. So, for your barbecue or picnic, this might look like keeping them on a separate tray or in a separate container, or separate coolers with ice packs. Just kind of depends on the setup that you have. And with barbecuing specifically, separate plates and utensils for raw when things are going on the barbecue, and then making sure that they're separate when it's coming off and it's fully cooked so that there's no cross-contamination that way. Any marinades, as delicious as they might look, if there's been raw meat juice in it, you're definitely going to want to discard that and not consume it because it could still have bacteria in it.
Dr. Lee, how about keeping food preparation areas clean when eating outdoors?
Yeah, so one sort of principle of bacterial science, I guess, that's important to keep in mind is that bacteria that can make you sick and the toxins that they carry are not always something that you can detect through sort of smell or taste, and it might not look different, right? So I think people are used to, well, if it smells or tastes off or it looks off, then I know that that's suspicious. But especially when handling raw meat, you can't always tell just using your human senses. And so that's why, for example, when Sarah was talking about separating, it's important to separate those raw ingredients. And then the same principle applies for keeping areas clean, right? So you can't always see with your own eyes if a surface has been contaminated with bacteria. And so it's really important to keep track of which surfaces are clean, which haven't touched raw or contaminated food, and which surfaces have been touched by that, right? So surfaces and utensils as well. So preparing food in is so that you're separating the clean surfaces and utensils from the used ones. Important to remember to wash your hands before handling food, especially between handling raw and ready to eat foods. And keeping in mind as well that gloves are not a substitute for good hand washing. So if you've been wearing gloves to handle raw food, you should still wash your hands before preparing or handling ready to eat foods. And the reason is because one, sometimes gloves are actually pierced through or have a hole that's not visible to the naked eye, and you can get contamination directly from that. And two, also when you remove gloves, it can be difficult to remove gloves and not sort of contaminate your hands at that time. So yeah, washing your hands. And then also fruits and vegetables that are going to be part of your meal and not cooked should be washed separately and washed under running water to remove dirt and other residue. And even if you're cooking it, you know, washing those fruits and veggies is an important step before you're eating it.
Sarah, cooking is the step that we're most concerned with when barbecuing. So, how about you throw us some tips about that?
Yeah, cooking your meat thoroughly from start to finish is a really good recommended practice. If you partially cook things and then reheat them later, it's a little bit riskier because you're allowing things to live in the temperature danger zone longer than they probably need to. Cooking does kill all bacteria found in raw meat, so don't forget to take your probe thermometers with you if you're barbecuing off-site to check the doneness of the different meats. We do have a handy chart on our website, so whether you're doing burgers or whole chicken, or pork or seafood on the barbecue, we have specific temperatures for each one of those. For hamburgers specifically, we do have a rhyme to help you remember. If it's pink in the middle, put it back on the griddle. For steaks, however, because it is a whole piece of meat, definitely enjoy those to your preferred doneness, as long as the meat hasn't been mechanically tenderized.
That sounds good. Are you still with us, Sarah? Oh,
Okay.
I seem to have lost you a bit there, Sarah. Are you with us, Lena?
I'm here.
Okay. Sarah, can you hear us? Oh, good. We've got you back. So you were saying that about steaks, and then I know you wanted to tell us something too about once our meat is cooked.
So once your meat is cooked, definitely don't put it back on the same plate. Kind of what we covered in the separate step. Using a clean plate when taking anything off the grill will prevent recontamination from any raw meat juices.
Okay, so technology aside, some great information there. Dr. Lee, what about storing the food or keeping leftovers?
Yeah, so using the same principles as before, right? So storing potentially hazardous foods such as meat, especially raw meat, eggs, and dairy products in the fridge at 4 degrees Celsius or lower until you're ready to use it. So, for example, if you're going to a picnic or a barbecue that's not right at home, using lots of ice packs or and putting them in coolers to maintain the temperature low for things like picnics, barbecues, and also, you know, camping is another you know, thing that we haven't talked a lot about, but all the same principles apply. The other thing is leftovers. So cooling them as quickly as you can will help preventing that food from being in that temperature and danger zone. And then storing those leftovers in the refrigerator or the cooler or whatever you have to bring it back to 4 degrees Celsius as quickly as you can. And then freezing meat. And cooking from frozen can be an option as well to reduce risk. So, some meats in terms of like how much people enjoy it, like steak, for example, hard to cook from frozen, but poultry is a really good example of something that could be cooked from frozen. So using sort of the right technique for the right food product and the right meat is also an important consideration.
Sarah, any more tips to share?
Yeah, just one final recommendation around inspecting your barbecue brushes before you start to grill for the season. So there are some kinds out there that have the loose metal bristles that can fall off and attach to your food and become kind of a food safety adjacent issue. So just make sure those are in good condition or pick an alternate style, a different material that doesn't have that issue.
So, Dr. Lee, how can you get more information about this?
Yeah, so unsurprisingly, you might have guessed that we have more information on our website. So we do actually have a food safety page on healthyNet.org that talks about what we just covered and more. Sarah had talked about safe cooking temperatures as well, so we have that on our website. Feel free to call us as always. 1-800-660-5853 is the HealthyNet's number, and then we can connect you with, for example, one of our public health inspectors. Just as a plug as well, we've focused today on people who are just cooking for friends and family. But if you're cooking for the public or if you're holding an event that is going to be accessible to the public, the HealthyNet does actually have a requirement to inspect public events where food is being served. And if you're preparing food as well, then that's an important thing that we need to know about. So please don't forget to let us know. We do have on our website a form submission for something like that. And then, of course, we are on social media. So we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter or Zed and Instagram, or sorry, not Zed, Twitter or X, and also on Instagram as well for sort of lots of other information, not just about food safety, but many other things.
Well, you've convinced me to barbecue tonight, but I'll keep it just within the family, so no need to inspect my backyard. But Dr. Lee, as always, thank you so much for this.
Always a pleasure.
And Sarah Burris, always a pleasure to have you on as well.
Thank you.
It's another edition of What's Good on MyFM.